fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got me a wife, I gotta tell you. I was down here before we went on the air here this morning. I was complaining because I broke a set of glasses yesterday. I got another set of glasses. These used to be black, and now they're white. They're dollar store glasses. They're broken over here. And I really wanted to wear my clear ones, but I don't know where I put my clear ones, and I'm griping and moaning and complaining about it. My wife brings me down two more sets, and that goes with these others that I have here. So I really wasn't complaining I didn't have any glasses. I was complaining, and I don't know what happened to my clear ones. Good morning! November 21st. 2016. I just thinking about this just hit me. The day that we'll live in infamy, the day that America died is tomorrow, November 22nd, 1963. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I was only, I was 10 years old, heading on to my 11th birthday when Kennedy was killed. And it was the day, I've often told people, in my opinion, it was the day America died. And that for the first time ever, the American people came to the realization that their government was lying to them. And we, you know, it took us a while to get there because of the Zapruder film and all that stuff that went on there. But gradually over time, most people, I would say 90% of the people in America today know that the Kennedy killing is not as we've been told. Now, here's a good question. This is where America died. We know that they lied to us. So the question becomes, why don't we go find out what really happened? Why don't we go back? We know that was a big lie back in 1963. Why don't we go back and find what happened? Because until you clear that lie, see, it's like in your own life, until you clear past sins, you can't move forward. Not really, you can't. So now we got 90% of Americans who, throw that number out, 90% of thinking Americans don't believe the Lee Harvey Oswald. If he pulled the trigger, it all acted alone. Nobody believes that anymore. But we let them lie to us, and it goes on and on and on. They lie about that, and then they go on, and then they lie to us about what? Pick any one of them. 911, the two planes flew in the tower and brought those things down. There was no conspiracy there, just some guys with the box cutters. And we let that thing go on as if that didn't happen, and lie after lie after lie after lie begins to build up, and nobody says anything about it. So the day America died is how many years will that be? 63, 40, 50, I'm that old, 54 years tomorrow. Is that what it'll be? 54 years tomorrow. And we all know we didn't get the truth, and we still haven't done anything to find out what the truth was. Still haven't brought anybody to account as a result of it. That's not what I want to talk about today. But see, in my mind, this whole thing, it all plays together. Everything is, there is no truth in America today. There's no truth. There just isn't. And it goes back to the garden when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the devil came up to Eve and said, "Did God really say?" The first recorded questioning of truth. Remember this, the Bible tells us, guys, girls, that the devil is a liar. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't just tell lies. Sometimes I tell lies. Don't mean to, but sometimes I do. Sometimes you tell lies. But now in your born-again nature is not to tell lies. Your born-again nature, because you're filled with the spirit of truth, your born-again nature now is to tell the truth. But if you're of your father, the devil, your unborn-again nature is to tell lies. He is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. Somebody Google that for me real quick and see where we can find that in the scripture, because I think it's important. And not only are we talking about lies in the government, we're talking about lies all across everything. We believe lies. Did you find that, Jared? I see you put something up there for me. Man, thank you. Thank you. Because, this isn't where I wanted to go. We're going to get there, but this is important. Where is that, Jared? We're in John 8. Looks like we're in John 8, 42. I'm going to go to John 8, 42. No, I'm Jared. I'm going to go up to 39. I haven't read this previously, okay? But I'm going to start in 8, 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. In other words, you will see your father in you. It's happening to me all the time. That's a good country song, by the way. Seeing my father in me. But the values of your father will be replicated in you, whether you know it or not. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me. A man that has told you the truth. There it is. Which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Now, if you're not born again and adopted into the family of God, you are of your father, the devil. I'll show you that. And Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, you'd love me. Because I came from, because I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. It wasn't my choice. Dylan, you weren't chose to be born here. Rich, you wasn't your idea to be born here. It wasn't your idea to be here, Roger, Robert. That wasn't your idea. God's idea was to send you here. If God were your father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I because I wanted to come. I came because he sent me. And why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You know why you can't understand it? Because you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father, you're going to just act like your daddy. That's all it is. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he didn't abide in the truth because there is, listen, no truth in him. If the devil tells you the truth, it's a lie. If the devil tells you there's no truth in him, he can't look at that. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Why don't you believe him? Because you're of your father, the devil. And you recognize and understand and live in a state of lying, deception. Somebody say amen. Don't have to. I know you're listening. Which of you convince me of sin, and I say the truth? Why don't you believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. Yea, therefore, hear them not, because you are not of God. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? They're saying to Jesus, you have a devil. And Jesus said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. So we're dealing with lies. We're dealing with lies. I'm segueing here. And that's one of the things that we're fighting, dare I say it, in the American church. We've been taught lies in the American church. Is that okay to say that, Roger? Is it okay? We're being taught lies in the American church. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of the lies we're being taught in the American church, we're not being taught on purpose. They've just been told a lie, and they believe a lie, and they repeat a lie. And so they go to seminary, which is full of lies, and they're taught lies, and they repeat lies, and then we're supposed to swallow the lies. And then all of a sudden, your eyes pop open, Rich, and you say, wait a minute here. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. And then when you go to somebody, and you say, wait a minute, pastor, that's not what it says, now you're a troublemaker and a rabble-rouser, and you're sowing discord amongst the brethren. So let us be very, very sure and understand today, fellas, we're dealing with a lot of lies. We deal with a lot of them. We just got back from our, we had a great boot camp. In my opinion, we had a great boot camp. We ended up having, husbands and wives came. Maybe I was confused in that people didn't know that they were allowed to bring your spouse. That sounds stupid. Of course you're allowed to bring your spouse. One of the things actually that sprung out of this, Sarah, you'll be interested in this. My wife's going to start a conference call, a weekly conference call with the wives, our wives. Because, hang on, we're not Jim and Tammy Faye, okay? I'm minister and she minister. That's not what it is. But Michelle's walked through some stuff. We have walked through some stuff. You know what I'm talking about? So we have the voice of experience. And here's what's happened to us. Larry, I wish you could have been there because you would have appreciated this. We are seeing, okay, Lord, I'll do that. We're seeing transformation in men. Some of us recognize it. Some of us don't recognize it. But I can tell you who recognizes it, and that's our spouses. They recognize it. And because our wives are recognizing a transformation in us, and they're not really where we are yet. They're used to the old you. Rich's wife's used to the old Rich. And now all of a sudden she's got a new one. And Roger's wife's used to that old wife, old Roger, and now she's seeing a new one. She's kind of, whoa, what do I do with this here? What do I do with this? So Michelle's going to start having a weekly conference call with women and talk through some of these issues because the two of us have to become one. And if we're not doing that, if our wives aren't on the same page that we're on, we're in trouble. So with all the good things that we did this weekend, I'm not going to replay all of them because I don't want it to sound like, you missed it. Why you weren't there. Boy, you missed it. That's not, I don't want that spirit at all to even be out there. I just know those of us who were there experienced something that was extremely unique, and we're glad we did it, and we're going to do it again. And the way that I saw men, it was, hey, Rich, I got to tell you, you pumped me up, man. Jim Kraft, Jimmy, I don't know if you're listening today. You pumped me up. Because I saw we had a round table. Rod, you weren't there for the round table. But in the round table, without getting into specifics of it, and without trying, I in no way want to besmirch anybody's name, so I'm not going to even, those of you who are there know what I was talking about. Some of us had the opportunity to wilt in the face of what we would consider authority. You with me, guys, know what I'm talking about? We had the chance to wilt in the face of what would normally happen in a church when what appears to be an elder is speaking into us. The average Christian man gets tamped down and hunkers down and doesn't say what he really, really feels. And I was so pumped up, Sarge, that when the tamping down started, the pushback was ignited. And you blessed me, Rich, when you stood up and you said, hey, okay, I understand. But what about this? And you didn't back down. Jimmy Kraft didn't back down. A lot of guys didn't back down. It's not about backing down. It's about the father of lies. We are believing lies. Hey, Roger, you're an attorney. Roger, what's the – I'm not an attorney, but Roger, what's the one question you never ask in a trial?
Something you don't know the answer to.
That one you don't know the answer to. Hey, Larry, you know what's killing us in the church? Some of our leadership don't know the answers to the questions, and they won't even let you ask them. Right, Rich? Would you agree with that? You're not even allowed to ask those questions. In fact, it's almost, how dare you find out that information without me? Who do you think you are? Not intentionally.
Well, they're scared. Well, they're scared.
They're not only scared, they're misinformed and underinformed. I got up this morning early, and I don't think I'm going to go there today, although I sent Jared, I so appreciate you so much coming all the way out here. And Sarge came in all the way from Maine. I appreciate that. Rich drove in from Granite City, and Robert drove in all the way from Atlanta, and others came long distances. Pastor Wayne came in. We had a great group of guys there. All of them had come long distances. All of them had. And I want you to know that I appreciate it more than you ever know, and your input is valuable as we move forward here. But I was Googled something today. If you guys got an hour and a half to kill, just begin to Google this pedophile ring connected to Hillary Clinton and the Podestas. That stuff is coming out like unbelievable. Now, I'm not going to tie us down with that today. But Larry, you know what that is, brother? That is the absolute proof of how dark this other side is. We don't want to believe it because we're not involved with it. We don't want to believe it because we don't see it. And as a result of that, we have many leaders in the church who don't see it and don't want to deal with it either. In fact, when you begin to talk about it, Rich, they'll say you're whatever. Whatever. Because why? They don't know it. They don't understand the depth of it. So that led into a debate yesterday. Anybody want to add anything before I go any further, before I begin to really connect some dots here this morning for us? Anybody?
Thanks for bringing us together out there, Coach.
Yeah, we did, didn't we, brother? We did. We faced a little bit of adversity, and we came. And again, it wasn't purposeful. It wasn't purposeful. But again, it was coming from an area that they weren't really aware of. It's kind of what I saw. And so one of the focuses that came out of the meeting was this: that we all need to be tied in to a local church. Now, I felt, from my personal perspective, that was almost crammed down my throat, that I needed to be part of a local church. And I understand where they're coming from, but if old Jim Kraft could be with us today, he stood up and gave, man, it was powerful. He said, I've held 40 years, I've held every daggone position in the church, elder, Sunday school teacher. I've held them all in several different churches. I've held them all. And all I've seen is I've just been ostracized and pushed aside and pushed in a corner and mistreated. 40 years I've tried to be part of that local church. I've tried to be part of the church. So when people say to us, Rich, if I had it to do over again, this would have been the genesis. This is where we would have gone. By the way, Sarge did a great job when we had our round table. Sarge did a great job of cracking open that coconut so we could start to get into some of the meat. And if I were to do it all over again, my question wouldn't be, should we be members of the local church? My question would have been this: what is the local church? What is the local church? Not whether or not I should be members of one, but what is the local church? And that was the debate we should have had. We never got around to that. But this, guys, this is going to become more and more crucial than anything. And I really believe that part of the problem we faced on Saturday in particular, was it Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday. In our roundtable discussion, part of the problem we faced is, I think some of them thought maybe that you guys were just loose cannons. That Rich just came in as a loose cannon, and Jared had come in from Maine and he was a loose cannon, and Robert came in and Robert's just out there living his life all by himself, and he's come in here, and so the room's full of just loose cannon guys who aren't connected to a local church. And hey, Rich, you know, I did some calculations yesterday. I started this show late January. So let's go. Let's stay with me a second. You with me, Roger? So January, somebody count for me. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. That's 10 months. 10 months, 5 days a week. Stay with me. 10 months, 5 days a week. 5 days a week for 4 weeks is 20. 10 months of 5 days a week is 200. We have been meeting for over 200 days in a row. You ain't some loose cannon. You are connected to something. And Roger, 200 meetings on the queue is, help me out, 4 years of Sunday services? Yes or no? The average guy going to church 4 years before he gets to 200 fellowship meetings with his brother. And you can go to church your whole life and never have what we had on Saturday morning.
Amen.
Thumb up on that. Thumbs up on that. So again, I think part of the opposition, although that's not the right word, part of the focus became, you loose cannons. Well, you loose cannons, you need to be plugged into a local church. And Rich, you said it, or Robert said it. Robert said it. Coach, you are, this is my church. This is my church. And as much as I said, I don't want that to be this to be a church. The truth of it is, you're plugged into this thing. We are fellowshipping and digging into the word. We are going deeper in our faith than the average Christian man ever goes. Thumbs up on that?
Absolutely. Coach.
Yes.
I wasn't there, unfortunately. I really wanted to be. But I would have put this in. The word truly says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. The key word there is not assembly and it's not forsake. The key word there is yourselves. These local churches in my area, I'm finding out those folks in there are not part of myself. They do not understand what the word of God says. They know what the preacher tells them it means. It means love, everybody. It means don't be judgmental in any way, shape, or form in any manner, which is a lie. Now, you talked about liars earlier. Satan is a liar. Satan used scripture against Jesus. Scripture is a lie when it's not used properly and in context.
Amen, Larry. Amen. And it's invaded our churches. And I am not being critical of anybody because it's easy for all of us to fall into that trap. But my good friend Robert Sellers, who Pastor Wayne just said, church where a woman can be a woman, and so can a man. I got you, Pastor Wayne. Pastor Wayne came from Indianapolis. Man, he's a deep guy. We'll get him on here more. He's a deep man. I honor you, Pastor Wayne. Robert Sellers, Robert came to me early and said, Coach, I brought some anointing oil. I want you to anoint me. He said it to me early. And he told me what he wanted us to anoint him for and what he wanted us to pray for. And on Saturday, we did that. We had a nice anointing and prayer session on him. And then Robert, being full of the truth, said to Rich on whether it's either Saturday night or Sunday morning, he said, listen, I didn't want those other guys to anoint me. I want my brothers to anoint me. You get that? I want my brothers to anoint me. He said, I don't reject that other one. But he said, I want my brothers to anoint me. And so we had a do-over with Robert. And Rich anointed him and prayed a powerful prayer over Robert. And so I guess one of the things that I'm trying to guard against, I'm trying to deny or run away from what's clearly happening is we are becoming a band of brothers, whether I want to admit it or not. And this is becoming a fellowship, whether I want to admit it or not. It's becoming that. But see, it's because we're not in that box, right? We're not in that street on the corner box that we all think represents the church. Are you trying to say something, Roger?
Coach?
Oh, I was. Yeah. I wasn't
hang on,
there.
Roger, hang on. Rich is up. Then you. Go ahead, Rich.
I think what's unique is we're not trying to.
Yeah, I'm running from it, actually, Rich.
God's just putting it together.
Yeah, I'm trying hard not to be that, and he is putting it together. Raj?
Oh, I was just going to say, my experience, and I wasn't at the planning thing on Saturday afternoon, but when I got home here, it was what kept on pulling me back throughout the weekend for the times I was there was I kept on thinking, man, I like these guys. They're the men that I like being around. I may not see them again for another 6 months or a year. So I want to go back out there. You know, I want to go back out. And, you know, Flip said something, and I don't know if he was in the planning section. And he said, you know, if you are not in fellowship, you are in sin. And that kind of stuck with me. But I do believe what Larry said. For some, the larger church may be their fellowship. It may be where they go. And I don't totally disregard that. I enjoy some aspects of fellowship on Sunday, so on and so forth. But for me, I just enjoyed the weekend, just plain and simple. And I love the brothers on the huddle, and I wanted to be around. And I tell people, when I try to explain the huddle, it's not that these guys are super special, but they are super special. Yeah. They're guys that I like being around. So I was blessed by the weekend.
I was too. And as only the Lord can do, you know, we didn't even talk much about Josh. Josh is a 29-year-old guy who just, he didn't know any of us. He got in his car and he drove up from Orlando, Florida. 29-year-old guy jumped in his car and drove to Warsaw, Ohio on a chance that there was going to be something here for him. And have we had Greg come down from Galleon and Chris come down from Worcester. We had guys come that you don't know who the Lord's calling. So I double back, and I guess I have to ask this question. What is the church? What is it? And I understand the message that was brought is that we all need to be plugged in, but we are plugged in. I've fellowshipped with you, 200 days? How many days have we been together and shared the truth? 200 days. Roger, how many days has it been? Roger, I have a better relationship with you than your pastor. Huh? I mean, it ain't even close, right? I don't want to be your pastor. I want to be your coach. So I was today told to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Matthew,
hey, Dave. Chapter,
yes.
Dave?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I talk to my wife sometimes. We talk periodically over the years. Who do I want to bury me? You know, who do I want to say the words at my funeral? And I think most of the guys on the huddle would be on my A-list.
Amen. 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 It's like I told Robert on Sunday when he's leaving. I said, listen, Robert, I want you to know I'll cry at your funeral. There are a lot of funerals I go to that I don't cry at. You know what I'm talking about, guys? I go out of honor and out of respect. I didn't have that deep relationship with. I'm going to cry when old Robert kicks a bucket. Now, Robert got mad. Said, don't cry for me, brother. Don't cry for me. Well, I ain't crying for you. I'm crying for me. For you. So here's what you won't believe this, man. This really, I bit my wife's ear all the way home yesterday. Rich, I'm sure you probably did too. With this issue, what's the church? What is the church? That one question that we never got to. Pastor Wayne said something. He said, we're a home church connected to the internet. And there's a lot of truth there, isn't it? A lot of truth. So I said, Lord, what's going on? That's not true. I did ask the Lord, what's going on? And I don't know if this is what he told me, but this is where he led me. I didn't hear him say, well, coach, here's what you got to do, and here it is. He said, coach, he said this. I said, go here. So verse 14 of Matthew chapter 9. Jared's got 17 because that's where I'm heading. What's the premise? If you were going to put a title at the top of the page, what would it be? The question would be, what is the church? Not is there a church, not should we be plugged into a church. The question is, what is the church? Now watch this. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? See, he's trying to throw that religious thing on top of them again. He's trying to throw that works gospel on top of them. We're righteous, we fast, how come y'all don't? Huh? Same question they're asking today. How come you guys aren't in a church? We all go to church every Sunday. How come you guys aren't going to church? See the connection here? And Jesus said unto them, boy, this is so deep. Lord, help me get through this. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Time out. Time out. There ain't no bride there. There's a bridegroom, and we are the children of the bridegroom. We ain't his wife. Do you see that? He's talking directly to the people. He said, when the bridegroom rejoice while the bridegroom is with them, children, not bride, not fiance. I didn't say Beyonce, did I? Fiance. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. For that which is put in to fill up taketh from the garment, and the tear will become worse. Neither do men go back into old dead churches. Because if they do, that place is going to break up. And the new wine that you're trying to put in that thing is just going to run out on the ground. You're going to be wasting your time. And the bottles perish. But they put their new wine into new bottles. And both are preserved. Question we have to ask ourselves, Robert, what's the church? What is the church? Is it that thing on the corner, that local thing on the corner that we have to go? Hey, Rich, how many local churches you tried to get into? And keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep getting rejected, when the Lord himself said, you can go in there and you can pour out everything that you can into that thing and it ain't going to hold it because it's a broken vessel. It ain't going to hold it. Jesus died.
The first one. This is the first church I found that's holding the wine.
This is the first one that's holding the new wine. It's holding. Right? So I'm telling you, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, sent his son to destroy that once old religious system. And then what did we do? We created a new religious system. And I don't care where you go to church, that church will have the same protocol. Come in, sit down, sing some songs, give some money, shake one another's hands, pastor preach, go home. That's 99% of churches, yes or no? And was it Rich or somebody, maybe it was Sarge. Somebody said, Coach, we assembled a lot this weekend. We assembled at the death camp. We assembled at the strip club. We assembled for dinner. We assembled for teaching. We assembled a lot in a lot of different places. And the scripture says that we got to do this even more as we see the day approaching. Does that mean go try to find one of those old dead churches to crawl into? I say no. Sarah says, again, Coach, there is an early church gathering in. Here is an early church, this gathering in our homes. The home church is exactly where it was. It's a new wineskin. Robert, is that a thumbs up or you want to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, Coach, that was a revelation to me. And I'm bad with names, and you know that. That pastor that taught last with the beard, what was his name?
Pastor Wayne?
No, sir.
Mike Swain.
Yes, thank you, brother. Who? I had a talk with Mike Spaulding.
Oh, okay, yeah, uh-huh.
I had a conversation with him Saturday morning because I was heartbreaking. And he gets it too, just like Pastor Wayne does. You know?
Yeah.
And it was uplifting. It was flowing. It was just great. And Pastor Bill and Flip, you know, I'm not disrespecting them, but I feel like they're caught in the old rut. And
they don't know what you know.
And I don't know what I know.
That's right.
Coach, just a couple of minutes ago, you said Jesus came to destroy that old wineskin church, that old system of religion. The word says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That system of religion that's out there calling itself neighborhood churches today are the works of the devil, because Jesus did come to destroy them and pull those out from among them who are truly his.
That's right, Larry. I don't agree more. See, we're all imprisoned. Some of us are imprisoned by our theology. Some are imprisoned by our circumstances. Some are imprisoned by our knowledge base. And why did Jesus say that we were going to be destroyed? What was the number one reason he said we were going to be destroyed? Lack of knowledge. And so you cannot speak to what you don't have a knowledge base of. And I was thinking today, I was going to go, Wayne says, watch out. I was going to go today to start talking about some of this, dare I say it, this very, 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 very extremely deep darkness that is at work in this nation. And I can promise you this, just by witnessing to some of you guys here on the queue, when we start talking about some of this deep darkness, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. And if I start talking to you and I start giving you evidence of MK Ultra's mind control, and I start giving you examples of satanic ritual abuse, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You say, what does that have to do with anything, Coach? What does that have to do with anything? See, what it has to do with is the devil has got us worrying about minute things, little things. He's got us worrying about little things. When, in fact, he has a global conquest mentality, the devil does. And he has got us focused on and arguing about whether or not you need to be plugged into a local church. Go to Matthew 16, Jared, real quick. I love everybody that was there this weekend. I'm not being critical of anybody. You understand that? I've come to this point in my life. I give them grace because I say, you know what? If they knew what I knew, they wouldn't feel that way. That's all. You with me, Sarge? Sarge is up above me. Okay, still with me. Go to Matthew 16. I'm just going to show you. I'm just going to show you right now. Evidence. That's all I'm going to do. We have read this many times. Jared's got it up there, but I'm going to pop your eyes open. Hey, Robert, you ready for your eyes to be popped open? Okay. You guys ready? You ready, Dylan? You ready for your eyes to pop open? Lord, help him to see. Yeah, Wayne says I'm going in a rabbit hole. It's okay, man. I'm not afraid to look down there. I went and saw. Let me stop there a second. I'm going to show you this. Because I'm going to go here. Some of us went and watched the movie. I went and saw Hacksaw Ridge on Saturday night, which I recommend everybody see. It's very, very gory. But you know what I saw, Sarge and Roger? You know what I saw? They talked about on Hacksaw Ridge that they would take that the Americans would take the ridge, and then the next day they'd get blasted off of it. A new group of Japs would show up and run them off. Remember that? Talking about that? And it happened over and over and over and over. And what did the ones, all of a sudden, it was a very small line in the movie. And it didn't hit me till the end. They said, ah, they're coming from under the ground. And when they got the realization that the reinforcements against the Americans were coming in tunnels under the ground, everything changed. And now they saw where they were being attacked from. They're coming under the ground, up through tunnels. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. We don't even know where we're being attacked from. We don't even see it. And we're getting our lunch handed to us. We can't figure out why. We keep doing the same thing over and over, over. In Hacksaw Ridge, they'd send 100 men up. 60 of them would get murdered, they'd retreat. They'd send another 100 up, 60 of them would get murdered, they'd retreat. They'd send 100 men up, 60 of them would get murdered, they'd retreat. They kept doing the same thing over and over and over. And because they didn't know how the enemy was operating, they were getting their hind ends handed to them. Thumbs up. Does that sound like a church to anybody but me? Does that sound like a church? Hacksaw Church. That's what we ought to call it. Hacksaw Church. Till they figured out, they're coming through tunnels. I'm in Matthew 16. Here's your evidence proof. Roger, court of law. You can take this into the court and ask this one simple question of the defendant. That's all you need to ask. I wasn't on Matthew 16 yet. Oh, sorry, I'm from. Here we go. Stay with me. I've read this to you before, but I got a new revelation. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said, some of you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, Jeremiah, Jared's moving it, and my eyes aren't keeping up, or one of the prophets. And he said, that's cool. Well, who do you say that I am? And Simon said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, cool, Simon. Blessed art you, Simon. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Jesus charged the disciples, said, okay, boys, get out or go tell everybody. Here's the test. Here's the proof. Here is what's the word I'm looking for? Doesn't matter. In a court of law, the attorney stands before the defendant and says this very question. Here I am. I'm the attorney. Let me ask you a question here, sir. Are you part of the local church? Yes, sir, I am. Sir, what is the goal of the local church? Well, he'd stumble around. He may not know what it is. He says, what would be the proof text that you are a local church? And the guy would stumble, and he really wouldn't know what to say. And the guy would pull, I'm the prosecutor, and I'd pull out the Bible and say, oh, well, here, do you believe the Bible, sir? Yes, I do. Okay, well, you believe it's the Word of God and infallible? Yes, sir, I do. Okay, well, let me ask you. I'm reading right here from Matthew 16. It says this. It says that Jesus is going to build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and that whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound on earth. He's going to give you the keys. Let me ask you something, defendant. Can you explain to me one thing you've done to the gates of hell at your church? And he'll have no answer. Proof, evidence of the local church, of a true local church, is the gates of hell are being stormed and being pushed back. That's the evidence of a local church. The evidence of a local church is that God has given you the keys to the kingdom. And so whatsoever you take control of on earth, and heaven is taken control of on earth. And if you listen to me, church, if you are not taking ground, you are not doing the will of your Father. Not only are you not doing the will of your Father, you are making him a liar, because he said, I'm building a church and my church is taking ground. Are we? Is that thing out there, that thing that we're supposed to plug into, is that thing taking ground? Roger, your church taking ground? Everywhere you look, it's yielding ground. It's giving up ground. It's not even pushing back against ground. Not even doing any of that at all. Can I tell you why, JR? I'm going to tell you why, JR. Because they don't know they're coming in through tunnels. They don't understand where the enemy's coming. They don't even believe in the enemy. They hunker down in the safety of their church and then criticize you if you don't come be part of them. And you're saying, are you kidding me? I'm looking for tunnels. I'm trying to find where these tunnels are. I'm trying to blow up some tunnels. So what's the local church? What is the church, and how will you recognize it? How will you recognize it? Can I tell you something? Local church that I'm part of, when we go to the abortion clinic, you know what happens, Rich? They build a bigger freaking wall. They have to build a bigger wall. Why? We're storming the gates. We're taking authority and dominion. We tore down their wall. They built a bigger wall. That one's going to fall down too. But the average church, the average local church, Jesus loves his church. I know that. But we better figure out what the church is. I'm not questioning whether or not he loves the church. Christ died for us, gave his life for us. I'm not questioning that. I'm questioning, what is the church? What is it? That thing on the corner? And then how do you determine which one's a good one? Because they all think they're good ones, but there ain't none of them storming the gates of hell. Somebody jump in here, help me out.
Dave. Hey, folks, Saturday.
What's that?
Saturday at the clinic. Friday at the clinic. That demon that was there, she wasn't at the local church.
No, she wasn't at the local church.
She doesn't hate the local church.
No, she won't go in. It doesn't even bother. She's not worried about it, is she, Rich?
She hated us.
You're not worried about that local church.
Right.
She isn't worried about it. We were out there storming the gates of hell, and she showed up where we were fighting and standing, didn't she? That's a good point, man.
Dave?
Yeah, hang on. Pastor Tim Tubra out there said, I got on late, missed it. He said, I'm on the outside looking in, pounding on the monitor so he can hear us. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Wayne says, I need a new job. Pastor Wayne says, I need a new job. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I wish the guys were coming in this weekend, but I think of public education. Not only is the church not knowing where the tunnels are, but there are some tunnels that it is obvious that they're there. You know, public education, government schools, call it whatever you're comfortable calling it. That ain't a tunnel. That's not hidden. That is in your face indoctrination against God's holy word. But we're not, you know, it's there. It's not hidden what's going on. That tunnel is revealed.
That's right. And that's where the demons are being reproduced. They are stealing our children and replenishing the battlefield with our own children.
You see, know, that tunnel is not only revealed, but that tunnel by a lot of local churches here in my area is being reinforced because the local churches are doing fundraisers and stuff to support classes in the local government schools.
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. I wish Jim Kraft was on here because Jim Kraft came up with that fabulous response to the admonition that we should be in local churches. He came up with the fabulous response. I've been in them for 40 years. I've been an elder. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been an administrator. I've preached. I've done everything. And the more I try to get the truth into the church, the greater the persecution that comes to me. Now, guys, if you're taking truth into the church and they're not receiving the church, that ought to tell us that not receiving the truth, that ought to be a signpost. Where's Rod Sterling when we need him? Rod Sterling. There's a signpost up ahead. No controversial truth permitted. None permitted. And so, yeah, go ahead, Robert.
I was just going to say, Big Rich and I, when we were out there at the abortion center, talking, and the officer came and talked to us because I asked him to. I told Big Rich that I felt like I was in the zoo. I was in the bear cage, or I was the panda, and the wicked children can be wicked, and they can get right up to the glass and make faces at us because they know that they're not afraid, that we're not going to stand up to them. So I felt like I was in a zoo, and all I could do is just, you know, walk around and put on a show for them, and they smiled and stuff like that. And buddy, that brought the fire in me because I wanted to bust the glass cage down and go crazy like a roaring lion and watch them run.
Isn't that what the church is supposed to do? Rich, what would storming the gates of hell, would not prevail? What would that look like? And is that happening in your local church? And what's going to happen, Roger, if you go to your local church and you try to get them to storm the gates of hell? What's going to be the response?
They're going to lock you up in a cage.
No, but first of all, they're going to deny there's gates. They're going to deny it. And they're going to say, well, we are. We are. Look at this big building we have here. We have hundreds of people come in. We're meeting their needs. We are storming the gates. That ain't what he's talking about. Come on, man. They're plucking our children right out of our families. They're reaching right in them. I said this to my wife coming home. Two things I said. I said a lot of things. Two things stuck with me. Every one of us, except Roger Weaver, and I mentioned that right now anyway, we have turmoils with our firstborn sons. Some of it's clearing up. But if you want to see evidence, the fact that the gates of hell are prevailing against the church, look at your family. Somebody give me a thumbs up. So don't say, quit picking on me. Just look at your family. And so why is it that God-fearing Christian men like us here on this queue, why are we losing our kids? It's because we haven't figured out the tunnels yet. We don't even know. We don't even know what's going on. So JR says, instead of going to an abortion clinic, why do we not mimic Nathan when he stood before King David and confront the church? I think we need to do that. I don't think we need to join a local church. I think we need to expose one. That's what I think. We need to expose what's going on. That's tough, though. That's a tough thing to do. So we are seeing, we now know, Sarah, from the evidence. I don't have time to play any of these clips. We now know from the evidence that Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and who knows who all in positions of authority, we now know that they are demonically inspired. We now know that. And what's the local church doing about it? Why are they not doing anything about it? Because they don't even know. They don't even know. And so we're being encouraged to go be part of a local church. Hey, Rich, how long are you going to last in a local church?
Coach.
Yes, Sarah.
Steve just said something, and it's true. A lot of the church today does not believe in spirits.
That's what I'm saying. Yes,
they don't, coach. They don't. They believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament is not for today. It was for back then. That's why they're powerless.
Right.
They're not born again. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have power. And they're powerless. They're useless. That's why I don't waste my time. I'd rather feed a bum walking on the street than waste my time going to one of these garbage pits. If I can't be fed, I'm going to get the hell out of there. I'm watching you. I'm looking at you and the boys online because you people are feeding me. Amen.
And we don't fit the model of the local church. We don't fit that model.
Yeah. You have to understand your own power, coach. Yeah. That the Lord of God has given you and everybody watching right now. You have to we need you.
Amen.
We don't need that local garbage. We need more men like your boys sitting there.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Bill wants to chime in.
Bill, you're on the air with the crew here. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Coach. I know you had a great weekend and been enjoying everything you've been saying, you know. But got some thoughts on the church and a little bit of wisdom. But, you know, the Lord said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And there's been a debate going in the books of the Pharisees ever since, you know, whether that was Peter or it was the rock of Revelation. And, you know, the Lord does use men to build his church. And yes, there is that rock of Revelation that he is the Christ, Son of the living God. And the two flow together.
But Bill, listen, I agree with you. I can be born again and not even be looking for tunnels. Being born again is just the beginning. And those guys aren't even looking for the tunnels where the enemy is invading. And in fact, if you go to your local church and you want to talk about those tunnels, they laugh you out. They say, there are no tunnels there. Coach, there's no tunnels. We're under grace now, Coach. We're under grace. But we win in the end, Coach. That's the attitude we face in the church. So hey, listen, Bill, I believe there are a lot of born-again folks still deceived. Would somebody thumbs up me on that one? Huh? Born-again people still deceived. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, and some of us still ain't getting it. Still ain't getting it.
Well, there's those that are out on the front line, Coach, and you don't find it, like you say, in most churches. Now, I want to say, since you was out at our church here at Rose Hill, George and I answered your call, went down to the abortion clinic, and now we've been steadily adding to out of our church there. And yeah, we're storming the gates of hell down at the abortion clinic. But, you know, I've got believers and followers of the Lord that when I go to my local political meeting, I don't want to tell you, it's a Republican, but anyway, you know, we stand up against Common Core. We push back against the our governor that vetoes righteous bills, informed consent on vaccines.
Yep. See, Bill, listen, Bill. God bless you, Bill. Thanks. keep listening. Keep spreading the word. Listen. See, Bill says vaccines is a tunnel. Vaccinating your children is a tunnel. And what does the church say? Oh, stay away from Bill. You stay away from him. We say, oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, these computers, they're a tunnel. They're a tunnel. Oh, no, Coach, no. Oh, schools, they're a tunnel. Oh, they're a tunnel. No, Coach.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
I think also today, with regards to what you were going to get at with Hillary and her group with the demons and evil, I think, people today think of themselves as too educated, too enlightened to think that something that they cannot see, such as a demon, a spirit, an angel, either good or fallen, exists. And I think it also comes out of the church. They're not teaching that hell is real.
Amen. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
They're not teaching that there are consequences, and parents too are not teaching their children, and preachers are not teaching their flocks that there are consequences, good and bad, and hell is real.
And professing ourselves to be wise, we've become fools. The smarter you become, the less real the demonic realm is.
Yes. And in the past, you know, like antediluvian times when they were mixing with human DNA and all of this other wonderful stuff, we received the myths of ancient times.
Yeah.
Half animal, half beast.
Yes.
You know, it's there. You know, it's just hidden. And I believe that those things were for that time. And in this age, it's going to be something from the planet Spaghetti coming down. But it's going to be walking through the veil. And the modern man is going to go, oh, my gosh, you mean you really came 5 billion miles away to talk to me?
Right, you must be
our makers. No, it's a demon.
Yep. And because of that, see, again, I know too much. Rich, I know too much. I just can't go play that church game. I know too much. Oh, my goodness. We're running out of time. Let's try to get Jennifer in. She called in there. Jennifer, you're on the air with the coach.
Go ahead, Jennifer. Jennifer, you're on. Try again.
Well, we're waiting for you, Jennifer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Comment to something you were saying about the absence of the church. And, you know, it's interesting because I have this back and forth with family who are not really believers, more Jewish, if anything. And we had a lot of Christian friends and family around us. The problem is it doesn't say in the Bible, turn your nose up, people, turn the cheek. And what we've seen is what keeps people in outside of the church and not seeking God is that they'll turn their nose up at things. And when did it come to that? I thought it was about the as you are. I mean, I've seen everything from you're not dressed appropriately, you need to go home, ordering people to go home because they're not dressed in their Sunday best. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps people away. And I was talking with my brother and sister-in-law about that.
So, and Jennifer, the scripture warns us that we can no longer strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And so we see people in the church worrying about the little things and putting their kids in the public schools. I mean, it's great deception.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Because you don't want it to be about that. It's supposed to be about, I mean, and these are the same people that go and feed the homeless, but they'll turn their back on their own family and leave them out on the street. That doesn't make any sense. Either the Bible's all completely true, and there's no room for half-truths. You're going to take care of your family, because it does it not say in the Bible that you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your family, or turning your nose at them when they need you?
Amen.
Of it.
Jennifer, I got to cut you loose. I got to cut you loose because we're at the end of the show. Bless you, dear. Hey, guys, I want you to know this. Rich, I was all in before. I'm more all in today. I'm more all in today than I was on Friday. I'm more all in. I know that what I see going on, Rich, Robert, I see the tunnels. I see them.
Amen.
Hey, quickly, before we shut it off, Jesus died for everyone, but Jesus forms a relationship for those who take action to come and receive him.
It's faith without works. It's action-based. God bless you all. See you tomorrow. It's tomorrow, the day America died, November 22nd. We'll see you tomorrow.